All right, mic check, sound check, 1, 2, listeners, speakers, can you hear me? Just throw up some emojis. All right, Kaido, you know, he's Italian, so I don't know how good his Wi-Fi is, but I'll take the emoji wave. All right, cool. We're going to go ahead and get the song going as well. If you guys haven't already, bottom right-hand corner, actually, never mind, bottom right-hand corner does not seem to be working right now, but you could just go up to the Jumbotron and just... go on the first tweet there, repost, comment, and bookmark on that. So that you're like, where's the Jumbotron? It's on top of my head. Just go through there, and you can click through on that. So that being said, we're going to go ahead and play a song and get this going.
Told him I don't wanna stop. So many drops, they got a custom. Out of the country alive, that's what I bought. Going to customs, nothing is over the top. Except for the rock, I made it custom. Yeah, billions, dreams, keeping it clean. I never custom. Oh yeah, look, my pen game is on zip tie. Bed frame is on king size. Little fish in the biggest pond. Guess nowadays I'm a big guy. Better pick, don't switch sides. I never trip, just trip mines. And the only miss is a missile. Whoa. You know it's he seeking. Clear my lane like street sweeping. Maintain the buzz, I'm beekeeping. Dropping again, that's week after week after week after week. Keep repeating, better keep reaching. Try to touch, but you can't like a 3D flick. We don't like that, like a cheap key fit. Whoa, working like some dental floss. Got a bone to pick. Throwing in the towel, never me until it's over with. They could never buy me. Go ahead and call your brokerage. I'ma keep my dignity, no matter if I'm broke or rich. What am I doing to stop? So many drops, they got a custom. Out of the country alive. That's what I bought, going to customs. Nothing is over the top, except for the rock. I made it custom. Yeah, billions, dreams, keeping it clean. I never custom. Whoa, hey, look, harsh.
Yeah,
get him.
Rap likhda di mere vich andi a Ferrari. Log naam leke kende mainu harsh lakari. M10 diya kale ota sab ta hi ona. E thode te depend ne kida hai ka chona pila badi yaar hare. Aaj jitte paya har mare time mere utte pite paya. Ya na main khada kud tam dekhna. Mainat main kar kisi sir na chadna. Sab na pyar kisi nal na lada. Dawa khote ti an kisi kolo na chadna. Main kalaya batera mainu kisi din na lord mainu khote ya man kade kar dana. ਛੋੜ ਦਿਮਾਗ ਗਿਆ ਬਥੇਰਾ ਮੈਨੂੰ ਗੀਤਾਂ ਦੇ ਨਾ ਥੋੜ ਰਾਹ ਮੇਰੇ ਰੋਗ ਜ਼ਿੰਦਗੀ ਨੂੰ ਲਗਾ ਮੋੜ 16 ਦੀ ਉਮਰ ਤਾਂ ਵੀ ਪਾਇਆ ਪਿਆਕਾ
Told him I don't wanna stop. So many drops, they got a custom. Out of the country alive, that's what I bought. Going to customs, nothing is over the top. Except for the rock, I made it custom. Yeah, billions, dreams, keeping it clean. I never custom.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the KPR stream. We are here on a beautiful Friday. I almost get Friday afternoon, even though I just said good morning, but it's not afternoon yet, technically. Either way, we're going to have some fun today. We're going to have a great discussion ahead. If you guys haven't already, please just go to the top of us, of our head, and click through on the Jumbotron. Go ahead and repost, comment, and bookmark, as per the usual, for, you know, spaces. You know, show a little bit of love, get a little bit of love back. But before we get into the discussion, I want to go ahead and... you know, just kind of, you know, check in with some of our people up here on stage with us. Right now, I see Noom, FutureSight, and we got Crypto Goats as well up here on stage with us. So, again, I'm going to go ahead and check in with those people since they're here. Or at least that's who I see as speaker. I don't know if there's a glitch happening right now where listeners that are actually up here as speakers are showing up as listener on my screen. Either way, that being said, we're going to check in real quick. FutureSight, let's check in with you. How are you doing today, fam?
Yeah, doing really good. Thank you. I'm loving the title this week, New Web 3 Eden. Obviously, New Eden is the setting for KPR. It's the world we're building. And we've just come out of one phase. We've done our big citizenship Eden token airdrop, over 6 figures of value to our keepers. We've just released our new build in public role-playing game system. You can see up there on the Jumbotron. I like that you called it that. But we've been building that in public. That's now getting closer to retail release. Go check it out. Free for everybody to view for the time being. And now we're just gearing up for our next major activation, New Eden Dreams. So New Web 3 Eden, good topic title. Thank you very much. Looking forward to the discussion.
You and me both. We're going to go ahead and keep going around the panel, and then we're going to kick off the discussion a little bit. Noom, let's check up with you. Long time no see. I haven't seen you like twice this week already. How are we doing today?
Oh man, you again? Hey, Alex here. Thanks for the invite. I'm super excited to learn more about KPR. I haven't done a deep dive yet, so mostly here to listen and learn and see how it could connect, you know, to musicians and our vision and strategy here at NUM. Let's go.
I love it. Again, we're still missing a few guests, so we're still working on getting them in, but you know, we're gonna keep checking in. Apparently Kaido's up here on stage, but he's showing up as listening for me. So I'm gonna check in with him in a second. But first, Crypto Ghost, let's check in with you. How are you doing today? What's going on?
Hey, what's up? What's good, bro? So I joined your last space. That was, I think, yesterday. So I just love the vibe, okay? So I decided to jump on here. So, you know, just learn a couple of bit. I think I like the narrative KPR is bringing. So I'm just here to, you know, learn and get, let's see how it goes. So.
I love it, man. I love it. I appreciate having you on. And again, for anyone listening, if you have any questions that you do want to ask, all I ask is a couple things. Go to the first tweet on a Jumbotron and you can comment on that particular post, any questions that you want thrown out as we're going through it. You don't have to think of everything. You know, if something comes to mind, feel free to shoot it up. However, the only thing I ask, you keep it to one sentence or two. If it's a whole essay, respectfully, I'm skipping and ignoring the question. Because ain't nobody got all time to read all that while hosting. So with that being said, we're still waiting to get a couple guests in. I want to check in real quick. Kaido, are you up here on stage with us? I can't tell because I see you as listener. Kaido, you here?
Yo, brother. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. How you doing today?
Oh, good. How about you?
Can't complain. You know,
can't complain either.
How's the weather in Italy?
Brother, actually today is not the best, but you know, we never complain. At least we are not in America, right? Damn, boom, dissing straight away. Sorry.
The audacity. Also, yes, I agree. I'd much rather be in Florence right now, walking to my favorite sandwich shop and getting a nice big fat prosciutto sandwich. Yeah. I tried to add an accent to it to make myself sound a little more Italian, but I'm a fake Italian, bro. I'm a fake Italian. I've been westernized, as they say. Anyway, look, sorry, I apologize. We're going to go ahead and get into this. I do want to, you know, open the question here a little bit. Future Sight, I want to start this with you. Yesterday, you guys hosted the 100th KPR episode on X. How is that celebration? 100 is no joke. That's more than people have achieved in their lifetimes. How'd that feel?
Thanks, man. No, I appreciate that. Yeah, we had the 100th episode of our weekly KLMX space, which is our KPR community space. It feels good, man. And we were able to, we rolled out a whole bunch of giveaways, including some new merch. We've got, you know, Uwu bread plushies, which is a deep cut throwback to a trait that never made it into the collection. And the first KPR art book as well, which we gave away to some listeners. And for anybody who wasn't able to attend that, we'll also be obviously doing a few giveaways for people in different time zones, shall we say, on our Discord. So if anybody wants to catch up, get some new KPR merch, celebrate with us. And also anybody, you know, might be listening into this later or something, we've actually got the archive of our KLMX up on our KPR wiki, most of them. X has lost a few along the way, but there's something like 80 plus episodes you can go catch up on. We've been focused on storytelling. We've focused on Web3. We've focused on the ups and downs of being in this space for years on end, trying to build, trying to trade, trying to collect and grow. So yeah, it's been a journey. No, thank you. Thank you for noticing that. It kind of creeps up on you. And then suddenly you realize you've done hundreds of these spaces.
Yeah, it's always a surreal moment when you finally realize when, you know, you've hit a certain milestone and you either forgot and you already passed it or you're about to come up on it. And you're like, wow, I didn't realize that was that close. That for me, that was when I realized I had hit like 1,000+ hours of hosting. And I was like, when did that happen? You know? So it definitely hits different. I'll tell you that much. It definitely hits different. But And again, you know, we're still waiting on a couple guests to get in. So, but I'll kind of take us over to the next question here that I think is worth kind of mentioning here, right? We're talking about looking at the title, right? Talking about the new Eden here, right? It's IPs. IPs are evolving into a new phase, right? And especially with solid products and communities at the same time, right? Communities being, you know, a solid community is hard to come across. A solid product to me, from what I understand, is harder to come across, but them both at the same time is like, it's like a unicorn. It's like a unicorn. Sometimes it doesn't exist. Sometimes it shows up once in a blue moon, right? And so what would you guys say is different from 2 years ago in IP building in Web3 from to now, in your opinion, from your perspective? If anything, Future Sight, you want to lead the discussion, and then I'll take it over to the next.
Yeah, would love to. Look, I mean, there's something interesting in here, which is that for us, we're big utopian dreamers, right? But the thing about utopias is that they're literary devices. They never exist in the form that they're maybe outlined in. And so they're aspirational, right? You have to have this sense of New Eden. You have to have this aspirational sense of this utopia that where everything is working seamlessly and perfectly. And that's where you want to be, because if you don't reach for that, you're never going to get anywhere close to it, right? So we're big believers in putting out those positive visions. I think what the space has shown is that it's proven very, very effective at like bootstrap fundraising for new IPs. There's been just countless examples of IPs that would have never raised the amount of funding that they've gotten otherwise through Web3. And then some of the pitfalls are is that I think a lot of people here haven't quite worked out what to do with that fundraising. And so we're kind of in a transitional period now where we've gone through a lot of experimentation. Look, I'm leaving aside the people who are just here grifting and extracting, but the real ones. We've gone through a lot of experimentation. We've gone through a lot of trials and errors to try and find product market fit. And I think what you can see now are those, a lot of projects now are really getting close, and you can see it and you can feel it. And there's examples of people who are able to kind of have repeat successes in revenue generation, which in this space is still a rare unicorn, but they're becoming more common. And so I think that's one of the things I would say is more noticeable, is that kind of revenue post-mint, product market fit, that journey towards bringing a community on that kind of product discovery journey with you. All of that's becoming way more mature now, and you can start to see it out there. And I think we're on the cusp of some really interesting things emerging, I think. There's still some pains to go ahead. You can feel that too. But I do think that we're starting to get the formula right, and teams are starting to understand how to kind of run the business side of a Web3 project a bit better these days as well. So I'm hopeful for the future. I think we've learned a lot of lessons, both as holders and builders. And most of us are both in this space these days. And so I just think there's an interesting journey ahead where we're going to take all of those lessons and start to implement them. And you can start to see a lot of really solid projects doing that.
Well said. Well said. And I think it's interesting because we're literally watching it play out in live time too, right? There's versus 2 to 3 years ago where it just kind of was just more theory, and it was just sounds good on paper, sounds good in practice, but it hasn't actually been practiced yet. Noom, I'd love to check in with you and see if you have any thoughts on this as well.
Yeah, I mean, I fully agree on what we just heard, especially like, you know, audience retention, product market fit, projects are slowly like starting to generate revenue. We went from maybe multi-product and a lot of experiments trying to do multiple things to now figuring out, okay, this is working, this is not working, there's interest. So at least for us, the scope has been reduced, and slowly, you know, you gain some traction. we are also maybe in a special situation because music is not really on Web3. So we have to go into Web2. This obviously has implications on product strategy, user experience, simplicity. But that's the shift I've seen a little bit. Also, there's a bit more fundamentals now in the space when it comes to just business, marketing, brand, understanding how everything is connected. And especially if you want to go to the masses, you have to be really good at multiple areas. So that's what I'm seeing.
Well said. And I think it's I'm curious. We all know strong IPs have, you know, a strong vision, right? Which can translate into strong products. But how would you guys say, because again, we were talking about communities just in the last part of the discussion, how would you say the community influence kind of shapes that in the first place, right? Kind of they shape. How do they help shape the IP? How do they help shape, which then shapes the vision, which then shapes the product? So with decentralization, that's kind of the beauty of it all, is right. If you're part of a community and you can demonstrate that there's a sort of a vision for that. Like, I mean, a very classic example is watching, you know, my community with all their commissions, right? That's because that's essentially how they see the IP being shaped in some capacity. That can influence then the vision overall for the team or vice versa, right? Again, that's how I see it. But I'm curious to hear Future, if you don't mind, I'd love to take this over to you and get your thoughts. I mean, you've done 100 episodes already, right? I'm sure by now you've been able to, you know, talk with your community to a level that not a lot of teams do or have even tried to, you know, get to. So I'm curious where your head's at with this question.
Yeah, building with communities is a really interesting challenge, I think, because what we found with KPR is it did take us a while to kind of align with the community on what we're building together. And this is partly the project as well, kind of, you know, spreading its wings a little bit and figuring out which niche it wanted to kind of grow out into. And then once you've kind of, you're heading in a direction that matches your original vision and you're building towards certain products or creative releases and other things, then it's about, okay, well, how do we energize our community and not just get them to step forward, but also identify and uplift the ones who are kind of giving their energy towards creating new things together. And it's an ongoing process. And that is one of the things I think Web3 is really experimenting with in a really interesting way, is how do we find those people? How do we facilitate their building, but do so in a way where it's coherent and cohesive with the kind of overall vision or what we would call canon of the project in a storytelling sense. KPR's a storytelling, you know, it's a world building IP. So we have canon lore. So it's not just a free for all, do whatever you want, but it's about how do we give everybody the right tools and context and, you know, the wiki with all of the lore and everything else, what they're building fits into the bigger picture. And then find really interesting ways to do it. Like with our narrative rule set, we run a number of official role-playing scenarios, and anything that happens during those scenarios becomes canon events in our world history. The characters in them, which are people's keepers and PFPs, become, you know, canon characters in that world. The events that happen, they shape, you know, what different cities or locations might have occurred in there and the directions those are taking. So there's certain ways that you start to work with your community and start to tell this collective story together, which is really fascinating. Obviously, for different types of projects, and I know we've got some more which are different kinds of utility and functionality, that looks differently. So it'd be interesting to hear from them. But one of the things we've learned is that, as well, over time, just to add in finally, with our citizenship system, we've seen a lot of success with that because it really helps you identify the people who want to come on this journey with you, right? And there's various kinds of collector systems and other things out there. But once you identify those people, it's like their voices and their efforts are kind of weighted a bit differently, right? And so that enables you to to really find the people who are most aligned with what you're trying to achieve, who are supportive of that vision, but want to add to it. And I think it's a really effective way, these collector systems, and not just whale-based, you know, buy as much as you can systems, but participation-based, event-based, you know, things that are related to the actions that people have taken in your community rather than just the money they've spent. Those kinds of systems let you sort the noise, sort the signal from the noise, right? Which is always really, really challenging in this space when it comes to that word community. And we've all seen it, is that there's a lot of noise, and you need to have mechanisms in place that help you dial into the signal. And that's one of the things that we've learned along the way. And I think we're in a really good spot with it. And now we're keen to build out the products and offerings and everything else from this position now. So yeah, it takes a lot of experimentation and a lot of learning along the way, I have to say.
Yeah, yeah. Experimentation and learning is the motto of decentralization, it seems. You know, I mean, Ilan, I know Ilan's got his hand up. Ilan, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this. I'm sure this is your favorite part of the discussion here.
Yeah, dude. Thanks for having me up. It's always, you know, it's always a pleasure to chop it up with you and the KPR fam, obviously, Cato as well. Future sort of nailed it right at the end of what he was talking about, and that is to be able to, in this hyper financialized sort of world, you know, to build your tribe in a meaningful way, in a way that ensures that you can identify those that are aligned with mission and vision, those that are participating over time. And those that, you know, really identify or are folding in this IP as part of their sort of online identity. That can be sort of, you know, on here, on sort of X, or, you know, in Discord, or however you sort of interact with your community. You know, it is the face that you put on. It is your identity, and I think as the IP crawls up your ID stack, right, as it becomes what represents you, right, online. You know, that's it's a clutch aspect for founders and builders to say and identify those identities and to say, okay, this person I see around, I understand, I trust, right? Like, because there are very, very important trust mechanisms at play here, and many sort of unspoken, you know, reputation metrics as well, so that you are, you know, sort of weeding out the grifters and the tourists in a meaningful way, and you are identifying those that are here for the right reasons, and those that, you know, sort of align. And then, you know, sort of all of that being said, like that, that takes time. This is sort of counterintuitive to, you know, what Web3 is all about, is sort of instant gratification, you know, fast money, quick flips. You know, real community building takes time because people, you know, people have to have the opportunity to plug in and to reveal themselves in an authentic way to the rest of the community and those other builders. And again, that, you know, that takes time and is very counterintuitive to you know, sort of the way that Web3 is set up. But I think that, you know, again, time being the measure of most things, you know, whenever you do have 100 episodes, right, and you do see who shows up week after week, or who shows up to the majority of those spaces, and you see you're able to connect with them, that, you know, it certainly makes it a lot easier. And in the meantime, you have to, you know, create those mechanisms that allow people to, you know, to congregate together and build together, because it's not super easy, particularly you know, in this online world where people are all over the globe in different time zones, you know, providing the mechanisms for people to, you know, to connect and meaningfully build is super important. And I think, like, you know, for sure, KPR is one of the ones that after, you know, after sort of the Ramen Wars activation, I understood, like, a lot better about how they were, you know, providing, you know, experiences and connecting community, and it built, you know, the build from there around the narrative rule set, the World Bible, like these kind of things, definitely allowed that, you know, that cooperation and participatory involvement that allowed people to have, you know, sort of agency over, you know, the project itself and the lore, which I think is very important to allow people to have agency over their existence in this world. And allow people to plug into those, you know, those mechanisms that allow them to, you know, obviously, you know, exude who they are and bring their particular talents to the table and collaborate with their, you know, their fellow community members.
It's always interesting to me how different each community can take it in the direction of too. Because, and I think between what you're saying, Ellen, and what we've seen happen, it's always, there's always something different with a very similar outcome, right? Like, for example, we have Azuki, Pudgy, Klaynos, KPR, and all these other IPs that are expanding outside of Web3. Do you guys think that should always be the goal for each IP? I mean, look, I don't want to get into the whole discussion of who's actually onboarding who, right? Is it really Web2 retail giants bringing Web3 on, right? And vice versa, right? Like, we don't have to get into that discussion. That is opening a can of worms that my brain cannot mentally afford to handle right now. But what I can say is it almost seems a little bit iffy that, like, it's, you know, expanding outside Web3, should that be the goal, or should it really just be we're bringing in Web2, right? And so, like, it's kind of like that discussion. But for the sake of keeping it a simple question, do we think that the IP expanding outside of Web3 should always be the goal, or should it be that it expands with Web3 as Web3's reach keeps growing and growing to other people that are coming in, right? The only issue that I see, personally, before I throw it over to Kaido, is that a lot of people come here for the wrong reasons, which goes against what Ellen's saying, is that you want to bring in the right people that enjoy the IP for what it is and want to take the IP further as well, right? So again, that is short of the catch-22 of that approach, right? But Kaido, let's throw it over to you. I'm curious to hear your thoughts.
Yeah, you know, it's something very... It's a very, very good question, because, I mean, actually, I would praise myself with that, but it's like we crafted the question together. So basically, it's very important, I think, to understand the, as you said, like, why people is here and why they are attracted to certain stories, to certain IPs rather than others, and why they have their commitment. Because something that we overlook is like, yeah, I provide you a PFP, I provide you an IP, I provide you a vision, and then, like, I see a lot of builders taking for granted the commitment of holders, right? And the commitment of communities, which is something very, very dangerous, because, you know, nobody's there to build your vision if you don't build it in first place. You will have fans and lovers of that vision, of the story, that will help you build that will be there for you, but you should never get to give that for granted. It's like giving for granted the love of your life, like just because you're married, right? It's not like that. So I guess the important thing is, like, to set the standard in terms of, like, okay, why you're here with me, why you love this story first place, as you said. And secondly, yes, I think that is essential for IPs, be it cute, be it anime, be it whatever, to look outside of Web2. Look, I'll be very, 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 very clear and transparent with that. Look at what Shinsei Galverse did. They hit Prime Video, Amazon Japan. Literally, that's the dream, right? When you hear from new IP saying, oh, we're going to hit Netflix, we're going to hit Amazon, we're going to hit this and that, you're like, yeah, probably in a few years. Well, Shinsei Galverse did it, right? With a beautiful episode, 25 minutes, go check it out. And did that affect the floor price? Did that affect by any mean the Web3 part of things? No, not at all. Like, if you see that, like, the floor price is probably, like, still low and such. But did that affect the core community? Hell yeah. They all flew to Japan. It was, like, a bunch of...
Man, Kaido's Wi-Fi. This is, like, the fifth time this week. I can't... You know, maybe I don't want to go to Italy. You know, I do want to go, but I don't want to live there. Because, I mean, if this what Wi-Fi looks like over there... I'm going to have to invest in their infrastructure ASAP because God damn. Okay. real quick. Future, I'd love to take this over to you in case you have anything you wanted to add on to Kaido's point, maybe, or emphasize your own take on the question at hand.
I mean, look, I think it's pretty clear that the audience numbers of people who are willing to actually kind of use products, use platforms, use things that are here every day in Web3 is diminishing, right? And it hasn't seen significant growth for a while. So when people say, well, you should never try and reach out to Web2, that doesn't make much sense to me because it's kind of like ultimately these things will merge. And what we're talking about is finding people who will be interested in your IP and your products, and there's different ways and means to do that, right? I think what people maybe are saying when they say that is don't take all the money from Web3 and then abandon your community, right? I think that's maybe the trouble they've felt in the past, and people can feel a bit used by that. But you should be seeking to expand your reach and your audience. And one of the approaches, obviously, we're taking the narrative rule set that we're producing is designed ultimately to be a retail product in you know, tabletop gaming stores and role-playing shelves and stocked, you know, around the world in many different places. And that will be for audiences who may not have no idea about NFTs or anything else, but if they fall in love with that product and they use it and they play some games and they're having fun with their friends, and then they say, well, hold on, what happens if I become a keeper and join this community? And then they realize, oh, I can take part in the official scenarios. I can make an impact on the world and how it evolves in a canon sense. Then you can kind of bridge new audiences with your core Web3 audience. And then the other thing I would add onto that is, and I think it's something that even many successful projects haven't figured out yet, is ideally, you shouldn't be going to your core Web3 audience over and over and over again as your source of revenue, right? So if you have, say, 1,000 people in your core audience and they've paid X amount to be there, and they get various different kinds of perks and everything else for being there, yes, they are your kind of core loyal fans and they'll support you in everything you do and they're likely to buy your products, but you can't be building your business around solely selling to that core audience of people. I think it just means you're tapping the well over and over and over again and eventually it goes dry. And I think that is, it's just the wrong approach. And it sees your community as ultimately just wallets and consumers rather than collaborators and co-creators, right? And I think that's what we're trying to flip that script, that consumer script, and say that your core community are the ones who are helping you build really cool products. They've invested some money to do that, don't get me wrong, but they're helping you build some really cool products that you can then all take out into the world and show people how the cool shit that you're building, right? And so I think ultimately you do need to be thinking bigger than Web3. And that's also ultimately a sign of respect for your community that you're thinking bigger than just what they're able to keep funding you on an ongoing basis, right?
Yeah, you know, it's really, really does feel like it's underutilized when you're talking about tapping in with the community, right? The Web3 community to kind of hyper boost the Web2 reach side of things, right? Which actually, that was a perfect setup for the next question, but I'm going to hold back on that because Ilan's got his hand up. And listen, between Future and Ilan, I feel like there's such a solid, like voice-wise, there's such a solid potential for the most relaxing podcast you'll ever listen to. I mean, their voices, I mean, if you listen to both Future and then Ilan, like just remember what you just heard out of Future. Now listen to Ilan and just tell me you don't agree. the most relaxing and soothing podcast you'll ever go through. Anyway, Alan, you got your hand up. Let's throw it over to you. What do you got?
Thanks, bro. The funny thing is I do sort of follow Future around on this platform and usually pop up in the spaces that he attends just because I value his mind so much. And I love to hear, you know, him sort of pontificate on these things because we're very aligned in a lot of ways. And I often learn a lot whenever I do attend spaces that he attends. So hat tip to Future. And I think largely like the real point is, and I think that, you know, it was just to put a little bit of a finer point on it is that, you know, this is, you know, your community is your network and your community are your super fans, but your super fans aren't, I mean, it's a new way of organizing, right? Your super fans are now intimately integrated into the building out you know, of this thing, of the project, of the brand. So they're not only collaborators, co-creators, but they're, you know, also brand ambassadors. And I mean, I think that this is the point, right, of, you know, the power of Web3 is the ability to create a super strong core network of individuals to make something really, you know, enthralling, right? Something very, a new thing, a new way of getting involved and participating and finding purpose and meaning in connection. And so I think that, like, you know, once you sort of do that, and again, that takes time. It takes time to do that, to identify those individuals, for them to actually participate and co-create that thing together. But once it's streamlined and once you have that, you know, really powerful core, and you have the team and they're both aligned, then you get to sort of on the periphery of that network, you know, expand and hopefully expand very organically, right? With those people that are sort of out there on the network, with your brand ambassadors and super fans, as they talk to more and more people about that dope shit that they're creating and want to sort of, you know, onboard people. So it's less of a sort of Web3 into a sort of Web2, and more sort of just an expansion of this Web3 organism to sort of onboard more and more people, to show them what sort of participating in this world, what you're capable of, and how to really live, you know, live more of your passion and be more integrated with people you're aligned with, not just around the IP, but around, you know, that sort of the aspect of co-creation, the aspect of the free flow of value, right, through the network. And so that, you know, the promise of this whole Web3 thing is that, you know, those that create value can derive value from, you know, from the network effects, and you sort of intermediate, you know, those rent seekers of sort of the more integrated hierarchical organizational systems, so that now you exist in this network, and the value that you create, you get to derive a little bit of value from that because of the crypto rails. And, you know, people find that interesting. People find that sort of much more an enthralling thing to be, to sort of participate in, as they seek, you know, authentic connection and meaning and purpose in a world that is becoming more and more devoid, you know, of those things, when you're sort of being, you know, force-fed ads from mega corporations that are scraping your data and know more about you than you know about yourself. And every time you get on a platform, you find yourself spending money that you don't want to spend on items that you don't want. You know what I mean? They're so good at manipulating you into being this, like, good little cog in the consumer machine. And it's unfulfilling. And I think that, you know, that dearth and void of meaning is something that we're trying to reintroduce into people's lives with this dope shit that we're doing here.
Dope shit indeed. Gage, I just saw you in the request. Look, real quick, one thing is like, because this is a question that comes up a lot, right? And this is relevant very much so to the discussion that we're having right now. But before I get there, I gotta throw it back over to the other soothing voice on this panel. Future, what are you thinking?
No, just what Ilan was saying there, it reminds me of an old quote about consumerism, in that the modern world convinces you to spend money you don't have on items you don't need to impress people you don't like. And it's just so true, man. You kind of got to just start to really understand, you know, the purchases you make should be things that are like improving your life in various ways. That can be entertainment. That can be all kinds of things. But you got to get out of the cycle of like purchasing just for that little hit of, you know, feel good, quote unquote, retail therapy or whatever. It's an insidious trap. And I think, you know, Web3 went through that to the utmost degree that it possibly could. And I think people have seen the end result of that. And for 99% of people out there, it's not terribly positive. So it's now just about understanding that there is a way to be active in this space, to purchase things in this space, to become part of communities and consume in this space, create in this space in a way that is ultimately improving your life. And there's a lot of great communities out there with great people who are looking to do that together. You just got to find them.
I love that saying, by the way. I've heard that saying probably a little over dozens of times, and it hits me just as good every single time, right? You know, and on top of that, you go even further into the hole of like you're now buying things just to solve your retail, just to, you know, fill the gap, the void that you feel, whatever, right? We're getting too deep, guys. Getting too philosophical. We got to pull ourselves back out. One thing I do want to ask is, this is a question that I feel like some people are either too afraid to ask, or more so they are hesitant to get into it because of what it kind of says to the community a little bit, right? But this is solely just to get into the kind of where would the categorization go, right? The classification more so, right? So, you know, when we look at community, should they be the type of community that follows and sit comfortably, or go out and create even at the early stages? I think a classic example is Bored Ape Yacht Club. Like a lot of people might not remember, but back in, you know, 2021, 2022, early, give or take some, they minted, and then they, you know, this was when Building in Silence was trusted and looked upon as bullish, as long as there was some form of communication every once in a while to, you know, let them know like, hey, we're not rugging. We're still here. We're just locking some stuff down before we start making announcements, right? Holders at that point, during all that, went out and took the initiative on their own accord to go to Times Square and advertise their Bored Ape on the billboard. And, you know, now that's a little bit of a mild example. It's a different example, but I thought that's kind of a classic example of the type of community that goes out and creates and does the initiatives and so on and so forth, right? And kind of the follow-up question to that, because that's more of a yes or no answer, the follow-up question is, are community shareholders, or are they just that first wave of customers, right? Because, you know, they are that first wave of customers. Again, we talk about experimenting a lot, learning a lot. We're learning from that first wave. We're experimenting a lot with that first wave, and so on and so forth. So which one is it? Future, I'd love to start this with you and engage. I'm going to check up with you right after. But Future, what are you thinking?
I mean, look, in Web3, we've got different ways of setting things up. I would say if you're part of a DAO, that's more of a shareholder model, right? Are people who purchase NFTs shareholders? No, they're not. But what they are people who share in some of the IP rights for the most part, right? Many part of the foundation of a lot of art-based or law-based or, you know, story-based NFT collections is that you share in that IP. You have the ability to create something with it. So it's not quite the same as shareholders, but it is something where you're sharing in the destiny of that IP together ultimately, if you choose to do so. But no, it's not the same as shareholders, but we do have models, DAO-based models that are much more similar to that. And then just going back to kind of what kind of community members do you need? And I see, you know, Wujek and Danny and Ichiro, Soil Toast, others in our community here, they all bring really different things to the table, right? And so some people will really step forward and create things. Other people will be the ones who kind of hang out in the community and just keep the vibes high. Other people will go out and get commissions and stuff and spend money with and use their IP in that way to support other creators. And other people will be the ones who show up in person and speak with you and connect with you and just really, you know, want to kind of connect on a very human level. And so you need all of those kinds of people in a community, because if it's all just gung-ho creators, then eventually I think there's a competitiveness that kind of starts to come out in those environments. If it's all just passive people who are waiting for stuff to happen, then ultimately, you know, it all becomes pretty stale pretty quickly. But you need a wide range of people in your community to fulfill different roles, because that's what communities are, right? People fulfilling their own roles in their own ways with their own strengths and talents and desires. And the best communities are the ones that find ways to facilitate and encourage different types of community members, which is not easy. And it takes a while to figure out how to best do that. But I think it's something that any mature community in the space has had to figure out.
You mean a community full of futters and paper hands is not what we want? That's crazy. I can't.
Well, look, Wujek is one of our best and most brightest supporters, and I'm going to call him out because he's also one of our loudest futters, but sometimes you need to hear it. So, you know, and again, this goes back to that point of if you have systems in place whereby you can really understand the people who have been on that journey with you, then it's not necessarily FUD, right? I mean, it might be stated in rather, you know, emotive terms. We're on the internet. But at the same time, sometimes it's tough love, you know? And tough love coming from someone who you respect and you know has gone on that journey with you, that means a lot more than just someone who's come in to the Discord, you've seen them maybe post three things and they're starting to rag on you on a daily basis, right? So being able to distinguish between that also sorts the FUD from the tough love, which is very, very helpful for teams. Trust me.
I'll rephrase. You mean a community full of non-constructive FUDders and paper hands is not the way to go? No, but I agree. I can appreciate the people who are able to have a civil discussion pointing out the angles, right? As opposed to like straight up going, no, you're wrong and I'm right. And it's like, okay, let's take a walk out of here. You know, floor it and get the fuck out. It's a classic moment. I had to. Real quick, before I take it over to Kaido, Cage, I want to check it with you. I know it's daylight savings time. You got a lot going on. So I want to check it with you real quick. You know, what are your thoughts on the community? Where do they fall in? How have you guys kind of handled that with your own community? Gage, you're on mute, by the way. I don't know if you know that.
Fuck. It's just not happening today, bro. What is going on? Anyway, Sansa, how are you? KPR, how are you? Hello, everyone. Thanks for having us. All that good stuff. But yeah, look, I think first thing, right? I didn't know what KPR verse, hopefully I said it right, is. And I went onto the site. I'm hooked on your website, bro. Like, whoever that is doing this website is insane. It's exactly my kind of cup of tea. And you know, well done. Look, for us with the community, like we don't I'm saying this right, it sounds a bit weird. We don't manhandle, we don't have a collection, we don't have a token. It's literally people who wants to better themselves in their work as a content creator come to us, and you know, we do some fun stuff with tokens every month, and you know, people come and hang out and you know, earn a bit of tokens and by doing a few things. And I think, you know, our Discord is decent. It's not crazy busy, but it's decent. But that's you know, we lack a collection and we lack a token, right? But generally, we don't manipulate a lot. Like, we do what they want to do. We've organically grew a group of gager, if you like, that like gaming. So they game every Saturday night together just to have a bit of crack. And so look, I think take it easy, have fun with the community. And, you know, it's up to the guys that if they feel they want to provide value for Gage in terms of getting the word out there, you know, we appreciate them. And obviously they come in and do the events and they make something. But yeah, sure. I think taking it easy, just be natural is kind of where it's good at.
I love that. Hey, look. You know, it's I think it speaks to the testament too of how people approach community building when they all have different situations, right? Whether it's there is an NFT and so on and so forth, right? There's the beautiful thing is the variety that we're seeing lately in terms of communities that are thriving or maybe not even thriving. They're just having a good time and they're not always trying to be loud and raid and do whatever. They're just happy to be here. Right. I think that's kind of the point. That's kind of be the little bit of a secret success as we watch, you know, the next 3, 5, maybe even 7, 10 years unfold. Right. We're in the age of AI. We're in the peak of social media. We're in the basically the beginning of onboardings into crypto. We're starting to see, you know, whole new industries unfold and so on. There's a lot that's happening. There's a new historic event every month, ever since COVID happened. Yeah, we might not like it, but it's happening. You know, might be all a little tired, but hey, you know, I'm just a millennial. What do I know? But Kaido, you had your hand up, you took it down. I can't tell if it's your Wi-Fi. You're playing my feelings. But
I don't even know where I stopped earlier because I went like on for like another like 30 seconds, 1 minute, probably 1.5 minutes until like I've heard Ilian or someone else like covering for me. So I was like literally talking to myself. But no, fuck. No, but no, first of all, I wanted to say hi to Gorge as well. But bro, entered the chat like a chat. And no, I really love the topics that Ilian and Future like brought up in the past like 5 minutes. You know, I think that it's like always a tough balance to keep even in life, right? With people that you know, besides friendship that you really know, right? When you have like people that you know but you don't really know, right? Like it's always a tough balance between those kind of things because I try to always to put things into context also in real life, right? And really having a community that's kind of like tough love, I think is the best love ever because I'm one of those guys that I'm very sweet and such, but like with my friends, I'm a bit more tough. And also when I'm doing my job, I'm always a bit more tough with people because like I really care that people in this space makes their own path, do their own choices and don't just like run behind the train, right? And we see a lot of like following, just like blind following in this space. So I always hope for communities, you know, it can be my community, it can be our community because, you know, we all have multiple communities. It's like having multiple kind of like, you know, passions, right? It's not like having multiple group of friends, but passions rather, I would say. So I just think that that's what we also have to do and to educate each other to. It's not about someone that is doing this as a job, but rather like us as components of certain communities to educate each other to be like, you know, very conscious, very wary and put things into context because a lot of common sense is missing, a lot of context sense is missing. And I know that we have all cultural differences, but, you know, at one point you need to wake the fuck up. Sorry if I say it that way.
I know. You curse. I'm just kidding. I already cursed like 5, 10 minutes ago. Look, we do have a few more minutes left. Ilan's got his hand up, so this is how we're going to do it. I'm going to take it over to Ilan. He's going to give his take. I'm going to take it over to Future for some closing thoughts and anything he might want to emphasize or add that we did not get a chance to discuss today. All I ask is that if you did enjoy the discussion today, you enjoyed everything, please give everyone up to your follow. These are people that, you know, some of them have taken time out of their day weeks in advance to be here today. And, you know, then there's Ilan who was a champ and came up because I invited him up. Because anytime I get to hear this man talk, my brain expands at least 2x. So any opportunity I can get to get a little bit smarter every time and a little bit wiser, I take it. Ilan, let's take it over to you. What do you got?
Thanks, bro. I think, you know, largely I just want to, again, extrapolate a little bit more on what Future was saying about, you know, the shareholder aspect of what we're, you know, the original question. And that sort of nomenclature is one that we're sort of trying to escape, right? You know, a shareholder tends to be in sort of modern understanding, it's sort of a passive investor that isn't integrated, isn't participating, but rather just seeking sort of a value accretion, right? Like an increase in value or monetary value off of something doing zero to like no work, right? And I think largely we have to escape that mentality, because what we're doing here is a much more stakeholder, right, oriented model where, you know, people are invested, sure, but they're not just monetarily invested, they're emotionally invested, they're connected, you know, to mission and vision. And I think, you know, largely as Future said, whenever you do have the ability to dig a little bit deeper into those stakeholders through you know, a collector profile system, you're able to, you know, sort of identify those stakeholders that whose opinions you need to value a little bit more than potentially the tourists, right? Or people that aren't necessarily as aligned, and if you can sort of sift, you know, the wheat from the chaff in those particular instances, and identify those stakeholders that you know are aligned with the long term mission and vision and sustainability of your project, you can, again, you know, redefine that relationship from a sort of a passive shareholder relationship to a much more engaged and involved stakeholder relationship, where you know, everyone is involved in you know, the proliferation of the IP, the ideology, and the co-creation, like the building, right, of the network out from the core into the world, as we've sort of been talking about before. So yeah, I mean, I think you know, shareholder is sort of an antiquated way to think about it, and that is very much you know, sort of the other model, right? Like the public market sort of model, where you buy shares in a mega corporation and you hope that they go up, right? This is a very different model of quote unquote investing, where yeah, you are investing monetarily, but you're also you know, investing emotionally, and you're not just a shareholder, but rather a stakeholder in, you know, the future of
well said, Alan. Project. Well said. Future, I'd love to think. Oh wait, sorry, did you rogue in the middle of that? I'm sorry. Did I just cut off Alan by accident?
You did. Might have done.
You did, bro.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. It cut out, and I was like, "Oh, he's done." And then I was, bro. You never know. Some people don't have that slight voice drop off. Sometimes they just stop, and they give you no warning. And I'm like, "Okay, let me." All right. Cool. Future, go ahead.
Well, look, thank you, Ilan. Thank you, everybody else, Kaito, Gage, Noom, everybody else who's and the projects that have been here today. Look, we always appreciate it. We appreciate your time coming onto these panels and joining these discussions. We're really gearing up for our next big activation, New Eden Dreams. It's going to be big. It's going to be splashy. There's a trailer coming out. But equally, we're developing our role-playing systems. We're developing our kind of tabletop gaming systems and other things and storytelling. We've got written projects coming up with the community and other things that are going to end up as, you know, retail products as well. So if anything you've been hearing today about, you know, co-creation, about using IP, about joining communities that are doing interesting things with their collector systems and just bringing the community into that creative process, pick up a keeper, man. I mean, it's, you know, for somewhere around $100, you can join a community that's just been dedicated for coming up to 3 years now on just building really cool stuff, exploring what it means to to be a human in this crazy world through solar punk, cyberpunk themes and having an absolute blast doing it. It's a great community. I'm going to champion it until the lights go out, and we're not going anywhere. You know, we're coming up to our 3-year anniversary, and soon it'll be 5 before you know it. And we're still going to be here. We're still going to be building, and we're still going to be telling great stories in New Eden. So thank you, Sansa, Unfungible's team, everybody else. And hey, now's a great time to become a keeper. So get on board.
I love it. I love it. And thank you all for tolerating me as a host. I know I have this very obnoxious American accent, but you know, with the future and Ilan on the panel, it was just the perfect balance. So I appreciate you both for balancing us out. That being said, guys, we'll see you next time. Have a great weekend. I'm going to play us out with some music.
Honey.
The number you have dialed is not available at present. Please leave your message after the beep.
Yeah, trendsetter. Whoa, league of my own, they don't get better. No, reap what I wrote, I'm a bestseller. Yeah, reach for my goals, hit it dead center. Hit it dead center. Bullseye, hit it the most, is no misses. Something like fishing a barrel, it's no different. Blindfold on me, I still got the most vision. Trent said it, told them before, but they don't listen. Batter better, bring a better bat because I'm bigger, better. Solo single, selling several shows at every single second. Peter Piper picked a pack of pickle peppers. Kinda came and crushed the competition, hope they get the message. Look, living it fast, been in my eminent bag. I never go slow, thinking I'll crash. End up a thing in the past, they know I won't though. Big fish catching me, they gon' need a bigger boat. Ironic how the world stops when I spin a globe. Always showing up. Right. Last year's song still holding up. Uh-huh. See the name now and they know what's up. Right. Price hit the top and it's going up. I'm a trendsetter. Trendsetter. League of my own, they don't get better. No, reap what I wrote, I'm a bestseller. Best. Yeah, reach for my goals, hit it dead center. What? Hit it dead center. Yeah. Hey. Trendsetter. Whoa. League of my own, they don't get better. No, reap what I wrote, I'm a bestseller. Yeah, reach for my goals, hit it dead center. Hit it dead center.
B-O-D, get the spell checker, fat check, and prevent errors going up. See the bent lever, hella B-O hot, y'all just red peppers. All y'all copy copies, but I'm left center. Yeah, and your shorty glitching on me like a tech center. Hit it with a French tenor. Crazy, wait until I do the next record. I leave head severed, I don't need to hit the bench ever. No. But if I do, I'm PR into the next level. Hondo flies to Lufthansa, already know who you people fans of. Call me Big Daddy and a big body wrangler. Call me Big Daddy Adam Sandler. Bullseye, aiming for a cottage with a poolside. Full stop.
Always showing up. Right. Last year's song still holding up. Uh-huh. See the name now and they know what's up. Right. Price hit the top and it's going up. I'm a trendsetter. Trendsetter. League of my own, they don't get better. No, reap what I wrote, I'm a bestseller. Best. Yeah, reach for my goals, hit it dead center. What? Hit it dead center.